Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
Since the real cowboy, Pecos Bill, was booked somewhere else, you just get Coffee Country and Billy Boy Cody on 6:50 a.m. But what you do get is the cowboy princess. She is riding again. She rode into our studio at the Country Music Hall of Fame's Ford Theater when last we saw her. Her name is Cheryl Rogers Barnett. Good morning and welcome back to Coffee Country and Cody.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be back.
I'm just sitting here looking through these pictures in your book, and you say he was the king of the cowboys, she was the queen of the West. They were the heroes of boys and girls everywhere who thrilled to their exploits in the movies or on television and who grew up humming their theme song, Happy Trails. They were heroes to me, too, but they were also my mom and dad.
Yeah, they were great people.
The story of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and your birth mother early on. I thought a lot of people may not know the backstory there on Arlene Wilkins Rogers and your sweet mom, our beautiful mommy, as you caption her picture here. It's one of the first things we see in wedding pictures and all kinds of things.
Yeah, the new book has, I don't know, like 350 some pictures in there. So I was able to do it in a bigger format. I'm getting old, so I asked him to do it in a bigger print.
Font. We'll call it font.
Font.
Give me a larger font, if you will. So when last we were together at the Country Music Hall of Fame, I told you off the air I had to tell you something that you probably didn't know that took place that day. It's not happened to me since. About halfway through our interview, just like we're sitting here now, I looked up at you, and the entire room started spinning. I was overcome with the worst case of vertigo.
Oh, my word.
I had never experienced it. I'd only heard horror stories about it. So I made it through that interview.
Wow.
Kept fighting through it, kept looking down, and I thought to myself, she's probably on to me, realizing, what's wrong with this guy? And when we finished our interview, everything went swimmingly, and we finished.
Yeah.
And I said goodbye, and immediately I kind of staggered back to the back in the green room in the Ford Theater and plopped down on the couch and sprawled out. And Charlie Maddox came in from the bullpen over there and finished the show. And Gretchen Peters, I think.
Gretchen Peters and Barry Walsh, indeed. Yep. Yeah. Wow. I remember it well.
Of course, program director, general manager, marketing director, all going, hey, what happened to Bill? Show's on till 10. Where did he go? And of course, Charlie Maddox, very concerned about me. We think he's
He
passed away back there in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got an hour of the show to go.
Yeah.
You carried it off really well. I had no idea.
Well, kind of like Riders in the Sky, doing it the cowboy way, I guess.
Right.
The tradition of your father. And we played that. That is Riders in the Sky, who recently, their most recent work was a tribute to those songs from the movies that your dad famously did.
Yeah,
so tell me about
album.
Your birth mom. They were married 10 years and she passed away, correct?
Is that... Yes, actually, she's not my birth mom. Mm-hmm. She, Arlene, and Dad adopted me. I was born in Dallas, Texas. And she'd had several miscarriages, so they had decided to adopt. Dad was in Dallas meeting with the owners of the theaters that were playing his movies. He mentioned at breakfast with several of the gentlemen that they had decided to adopt. I don't know how the subject came up, but anyway, two of the gentlemen at the table were on the board at Hope Cottage, which had babies. That's what they did. And they told Dad that if he was serious, they would take him over to Hope Cottage the next morning, which they did. He said that all the rest of the babies, when he made funny faces and put his fingers in their faces, that they cried. He said, I was the only one that reached up and wrapped my hand around his finger. And he called Mommy in California and told her that he'd found their baby.
And so the story began.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you know anything about your biological parents?
Yes. Mom Dale helped me track my birth mother, and I was in touch with her before she passed away a couple of years ago. So I got to meet my maternal grandfather, whom I just adored, and and I met my half siblings, which there were nine. I mean, it was a huge family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just left my sisters in Texas. That's where we were last week. So
in the book you have in the prologue, how I came to write the book, because you've written about your life before and about your family, but there's just so much to share here. I was reading this piece. Let me find it here. I wanted to get to it. Dad's fan mail. Let me. Do you mind if I read this?
Oh, fine.
It says, Dad gave Larry Z a copy of a notarized letter. It had been in Art Rush's files. It was from the Joseph Klein Company, world's largest complete fan mail organization. And it states, I quote, "Dear Mr. Rogers, this is to certify that we have received from the United States Postal Service for you fan mail in the amount of 422,511 pieces during the six-month period ending June 30th, 1945. And then there's a picture. I can hold this up for the television audience. There's a picture of Roy right there. I hope you can see that. Can you see that, Charlie, on the monitor?
There
just surrounded,
yes,
surrounded by all this fan mail.
Oh, it was incredible. And why he did that, Republic Studios would not pay to have his fan mail answered. And Dad believed in answering everything that came to him. So at one point, he had it sacked up and took it and dumped it on the front lawn in front of the administration offices at the studio saying, see? Anyway, he hired his sisters. He hired me. That was my first job the year I was 12. I had to take two city buses from where we lived in Encino down into downtown Hollywood, where mm-hmm. his office was. Do two transfers. I can't imagine doing that today.
And anyway, how old were you?
I was 12.
Wow. Yeah,
that was my first summer job.
So tell me what happens in the family life when there's that particular picture, when Republic, you say here, Republic gets a new Western star.
Dad always said it was better to be lucky than good. And of course, thank God he was both. But he was really lucky. The studio, Republic Studios, was looking for a new cowboy star because Gene Autry was in a contract dispute. Mm-hmm. So they, I guess, sent out word to a lot of the leading actors to come in and try for this new role. Anyway, Dad had only just signed as a bit player. He'd had a couple of lines in a couple of Gene's movies. So Dad didn't get the word about the interview. He heard it at a store from a guy who was in getting his hat blocked. So he goes over with no appointment. He goes over to the studio. At first, he couldn't get in, but then one of the big guys on the lot comes by and sees him. It's Gene's producer, who had met Dad when he and the Pioneers were on the Autry movie. He asks Dad what he's doing there, and Dad says, "Well, I'm hoping, you know, to interview for this." He says, "Oh, I hadn't thought of you for that. Come with me." So Dad goes with him. He interviews. They already had him under contract for $75 a week, so they didn't have to give him a raise. But anyway, he gets cast in Gene's movie. They rename it. They even, because Dad wanted a different name. That's mm-hmm. when he became Roy Rogers. They even wrote one of the main songs in the movie about Vote for Rogers, Ring the Bell. So in the movie, he was Roy Rogers. Anyway, it just started everything. That's where he met Trigger, because Trigger was a rental horse, and Dad chose him. And they were together from then on for the rest of Dad's, what, 88 movies or
something? Did he do an outright purchase of Trigger?
He did. He entered into negotiations with the rental stable. And a couple of years later, when it was time for Dad to get a raise, the studio said, well, we can put any cowboy on that horse and make him a star. And Dad says, no, I own him. So Dad always said that Trigger saved his career. Yeah.
The story of the cowboy princess who rides again, Cheryl Rogers Barnett, 650 AM WSM. And there's also, for people in the music business, you'll love the chapter titled, What Can Happen When You Don't Have an Agent? Whether it's in the movies or in Nashville in the music business, you need to read that chapter. Some of it you heard there on 650 AM WSM. We'll continue in a moment.
Where the west commences, gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Don't fence me in. Don't fence me in.
Woodrow, Cowboy Fiddler. There's a king of the Cowboy Fiddlers. That is Woody Paul with Riders in the Sky and their tribute album to Roy Rogers. And Cowboy Princess, Cheryl Rogers Barnett is here. Cowboy Princess rides again. It's like you need your own theme with a book title like that.
Don't have mom around to do it, don't it?
We're going to get to her in just a moment. I didn't realize she and I shared a history. Actually, I did, but I'd forgotten about it. Charlie?
You know, at Fanfare back in the day, Garth Brooks signed for, what was it, like 23 straight hours?
Something crazy, number like that.
I thought of the fan mail that you guys talked about just in that one period of time. And I'm sure almost everybody was asking for an autograph photo or something.
Yeah.
If he had signed 24 hours a day, it would have taken him 53 straight days to sign all the mail.
It was 422.
Without stopping. Yeah.
422,000 and change pieces of mail in a six-month period. Whew. It was from January 1 to June 30th of 1945, and it's chronicled in the book. All right. We met your mom. You have several moms in your life. You're a very fortunate lady with all of whom you remember fondly. And Frances becomes Dale Evans is the title of one of these chapters. And this extraordinarily beautiful woman named Frances becomes Dale Evans. And the history that she and I share is we both worked at WHAS in Louisville. And that's where she became Dale Evans, am I right?
Exactly, yes. The station manager had a crush on an actress named Dale Winters.
Uh-huh.
So he talked Mom into changing her name.
I'm going to show a picture here in a moment that could have been taken yesterday.
Yeah, he chose Evans because he said that it sounded good with Dale and you couldn't misspell it of all the reasons.
There's so many pictures of her in here. And you said off the air about her look. A lot of people may not know because they watched in black and white. But you described it beautifully, I thought.
Well, and, you know, most people think of her as a blonde because Republic Studio, their leading ladies were mostly blondes. And they made her bleach her hair. But she was a natural redhead with green hazel eyes and no freckles. And she was just dead gorgeous.
If Tim Gray in Master Control can come in, I want you to look at this picture right here where my finger is pointing.
Yeah, she was beautiful.
That could have been taken yesterday.
Yeah, she was a gorgeous woman.
Now, I'm going to flip over and we're going to find the blonde years here.
Oh.
Now it's getting longer and taller. You see?
Yeah, that one's from Sunset in El Dorado, I believe, where she played her own grandmother. She plays two roles in that movie.
I've always thought from that time period, particularly when you look at them in their youth, they were the most handsome couple. Your dad was a strikingly handsome man, whether he had been a cowboy actor or not.
Yeah, he was really handsome, the blue eyes and the dimples. And I mean, they were the Brad and Angelina of their day without the scandal.
Now, throughout the book in these pictures, which are, was this in your collection or did you pick these up from other people along the way?
Well, you know, it's one of those things when I decided I was going to do another book, one of the reasons that I decided that was that Larry and I came across a bunch of old movie magazines that my grandmother Wilkins had saved for me. Mm-hmm. They were in a cedar chest that I hadn't looked at in years. We moved it from coast to coast and everywhere in between, and I just hadn't gotten into it. So there were a lot of movie magazine photos in there. But my dad's good friend, Larry Zwyson, who was with 20th Century Fox for years and then with Snuff Garrett at Nostalgia Merchant.
Oh, yeah.
He did their licensing. And he has been researching my folks for years. He's the one that found out that Dad applied to have his name legally changed after they had already adopted me with the name Rogers. So I was the first legal Rogers. But he has sent me all kinds of great pictures and newspaper articles and legal documents and stuff. I mean, he's just been wonderful.
As this appeals to those of you who are listening, Cheryl Rogers Barnett, the daughter of Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, Cowboy Princess Rides Again. You got the new book. And then CherylRogers.com. You're going to be in Murfreesboro this weekend on Saturday at the Linebaugh Public Library from noon to 1. And on Sunday at the Patterson Community Center from 1 to 6. The Roy Rogers Film Festival, 1 to 6. The theater at Patterson Park. That's going on this weekend in Murfreesboro.
And going to have a great time.
Fred Goodwin, who is here with us, been a longtime friend of the show. He was responsible for making the hookup and us getting you to come by. And you got to tell me about all the famous folks you as a little girl. Oh. You hear this in music and people go, I didn't know my mom and dad were famous singers, because, you know, and they start dropping all these Hall of Fame names in music. But for you, and just what brings it to mind is this picture that I pull up here.
Oh,
there's Bob Hope cowboying up with the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers himself.
Right. Dad co-starred in one of Bob's movies, Son of Paleface. It was Dad's first experience with one of the big theaters, or one of the big studios, rather. So it was really different making 4 or 5 takes in a day to the 40-some that he was used to at Republic.
Wow. Yeah, there's a famous Trigger picture we referenced him a little bit earlier. And you got to tell me about Gabby Hayes. You said that as you were listening a little bit to Don't Fence Me In a little bit ago. You said, I just love that.
Adored him. He was like another grandfather to us. Yeah. Mom and Dad always said that they learned more from him than anybody else as to what it took to be successful in filming. So the movie that we're going to show this weekend is Don't Fence Me In. It's always been one of my favorites because Gabby has a huge role in it. It's all written around Gabby's character. There's my favorite scene of all time for comedic bits is Gabby, who's very allergic to lilies, is laying in a coffin, supposed to be dead. And one of the actresses comes in and lays lilies on his chest. So he's trying not to sneeze. And it's just a wonderful bit of acting. He was marvelous.
In the minute or so we have left, your dad has a place. It's one thing to get into the Country Music Hall of Fame. He's in there 2 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sons of the Pioneers and as Roy Rogers.
Yes. Yeah.
An extraordinary accomplishment.
Yeah, the first time that my husband Larry and I were here in Nashville, I had to go and get my picture taken by both standing next to him, of course.
Don't blame you. The new book, Cowboy Princess Rides Again, wherever you buy or download, and it's CherylRogers.com on the web. She'll be in Murfreesboro this weekend, Saturday, Linebaugh Public Library, noon to 1. Then on Sunday, Patterson Community Center from 1 to 6. The film festival is a part of that, the Roy Rogers Film Festival. This is the book.
And the book is also out on Amazon.com.
All right, quickly before we close here, we're going to close with Happy Trails. Of course we are.
Of course.
You got to tell me about Lights of Old Santa Fe and Sunset and El Dorado.
Well, they're two of my favorite movies, but actually, the main thing on that new set of DVDs is that Larry and I have worked for several years putting together documentaries on Mom and Dad's lives. Mm-hmm. Dad's is called Roy Rogers in His Own Words, and Mom's is Dale Evans, A Most Remarkable Woman. there's really some neat bits on those documentaries that I don't think people have seen. Dad is the comedian with the Sons of the Pioneers in their very beginning days.
Yeah. About that. Cowboy Princess Rides Again. Thank you so much for coming to see us, Cheryl.
Well, thank you for having me. Love doing it.
And no vertigo today. Oh, that's also been a benefit for me, yeah.
Oh, man, I was all ready.
Charlie's going to fade it in here. We're going to hit the trail and say goodbye. And God bless you as you travel. And thanks for coming to see us this morning.
Thank you both so much.
Be well.
Bye, guys.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.